Okay, so we are up to Tzadi Bey's Sif Tes. So Tzadi Bey's Sif Tes is a Sif that comes from the Trumas HaDeshen. It's a very interesting Sif. We're coming to Hanukkah time, so you know, a lot of candles going around and oil. So the Shaila is, or the good old Shaila by Abdullah. You come to your Shabbos table by Abdullah, and you're lighting a candle, and the candle drips onto your Becher, onto your Kiddush cup. So, did you ever check the kashrus of the wax of the candle? Right? Especially in the old days, it was definitely made out of chalav. Most of the candles were made out of animal fat. So they hardened it, and they put a wick through it, and that was the candle. So now that wax now got heated up, dripped off, and landed on your plate. Or landed on your counter, or your, you know, whatever it is. So what's the status of that, of that tipa? What's the status of that tipa? Now, that's case number one. Case number two is, let's say you have a cup of oil, which is getting with a wick, and the fire is burning up the oil, and then oil falls out of the cup. Again, what's the status of that oil? So you have two cases, right? The oil and the wax. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is not particularly clear, but let's just read the Shulchan Aruch. Ner shel chelev, a candle which is made out of trif materials, also kener shel shaiva, which is made out of a candle, shenot dripped, mimenu, tipa al kli, ein tzarech kiim grera. All you need is grera. Now, simply put, and we paskin like that, although there are other shittas, grera means, in this case, that you could scrape it off. You do not have to kasher the kli. Okay, you could scrape it off. Now, why is that? You'll tell. You want?
It's not so hot.
Okay. So is it because it's not so hot, or is it because, you know, it's not really kli rishon, kli sheni? What is it, halachically speaking? What's the status of it, halachically speaking? Is it considered on the eish? Is it considered kli rishon, kli sheni? What is it? So let's see based on the next din. The next din says, but if it's not made out of, the candle is not made out of wax. It's just a bowl of oil. And it's melted fat, melted fat. And it's made out of oil, and it's basically a cup of oil, and you put a wick in. And there you had a tipa coming out of it. You have to kasher it. Okay? Now, let's go to that din for a moment. Why do you have to kasher it? Why do you have to kasher it for? So let's think about it.
It's really hot.
What?
It's much hotter than the first case.
Okay, so you'll say that basically what happens is there's fire. It's warming up the oil. The oil is probably yatzel at this point. Now the oil comes out of the cup. It falls on a plate. So l'chayr, it's like a tipa, and therefore, it's like a tipa that came from a kli rishon, and therefore, if it falls onto a plate, you should need a kasher. Now, we could ask a question on this, which is how much you need to kasher. So, if you look at the shach, let's look at the shach for a moment. The shach says, pirish ner shekarin kreuzel, shuhudolik mechelev mohotach tavar seach machmas ha'or. So he says it's very hot. It's like as hot as the fire. Now, I have a question for you. We've been learning, this is the 24th shir, I think, on Basa B'chalaf. Okay? So by now, I think someone should have the basic, one basic knowledge of one basic thing, which is, if you have a hot thing, which falls onto a cold thing, how much do you have to kasher the cold thing? The answer is, could we hold tata gavar? The bottom thing wins. And therefore, it's cold. And therefore, even though the top thing is hot, it only has to kasher kadei klipa. So why in the world would the mechaber say over here, tzarech hagola? Even if you want to say the oil is hot, but at most, it should only require klipa, right? He says hagola. Hagola sounds like you have to kasher it all the way. L'chayr should be enough to just do irui, to kasher it with irui. Why does it sounds like you have to kasher the whole thing? Not only that, the Shach goes ahead in Lamed Hey, and he says, by the way, this is talking about a very specific case. You have this treif oil or animal, melted animal fat, okay? And you're burning it. So if it falls onto a plate, how it goes? Oh, but it's up to Shach. But let's say you're cooking this stuff up in a pot. Let's say you're cooking this stuff up in a pot, and from the pot, it dripped out of the pot onto a cold surface. Oh, yeah. There we go back to the concept. You need klipa. So he says, befirish in the Shach l'mechas, avol chelav mehutach, but if you took this exact same stuff and it's boiling, b'kedera, shenirtach b'kedera etzal ha'esh, dai b'grera. Not even irui. You need less than irui. Why do I choshev irui? Kiven de pasak ha'kiluach. The El Sif Zayin. This is a very shver Shach, what he said here. What he says here is very shver, because what does he say? David, it's shver Shach. Because what does he say? He says that if it's nifsak l'kiluach, you don't need anything. Why? His bria is from Sif Zayin. What was Sif Zayin? Sif Zayin said that if you had this stream of milk flowing on the counter, if it's still connected to the pot, then it hits the other pot, it's a problem. If it's disconnected, then it's like cliche-y and nothing happens. So the Shach says, oh, you see that when something's poured and it's disconnected from the pot, it's like cliche-y and you can ignore it. That's only because it was on top of another surface. So the surface cooled it off. But here it's in midair. So if it's in midair, Iri Shenifsak still has the din that when it hits something, it needs to get klipa at least. So why does he say here, it's like cliche-y or grayer, you don't need anything. That's a big kasha, but on the Shach. But the point is, the Zakta Shach, he says a big chumra. This thing that the Mechaber says that if you have a candle made out of oil or melted animal fat, that if it drips onto the kli, you need a kasher, that's only in this case. But if you would be cooking this stuff up in a pot, then it's different. What's he talking about? And second of all, what's we call this case? That it dripped out of the candle and it needs to kasha the whole thing. Most of you need a klipa. These two kashas. So Rabbi Kiveger asks this kasha. And Rabbi Kiveger says that in a chanami, this halacha comes from the Chumas Hadeshin, who holds that if an iroi hits something, you have to kasha the whole thing. But the Mechaber doesn't hold like that. So he doesn't know why the Mechaber is quoting the Chumas Hadeshin when we don't hold like the Chumas Hadeshin. So I saw one mahalach in this. Okay, this is a very fascinating mahalach. Mahalach is like this: that there's a very big difference between the oil in this case and the oil that's boiled up in a pot. Remember, we learned if we had to sum up the whole concept of klirishin, klisheni, what would you say is the defining factor? Dover gush, iroi, all these different levels. Like I said last time, in the same shvistas haShabbos, he has 17 levels of coin. Right? So what is the defining factor of the levels is how close are you related to the fire? Something which was on the fire, mamish, is another level. While it's on the fire, it's one level. And when it's off the fire, but it's the thing that was on the fire, that's a closer level. Everything has to do with how close you are to the fire. So the idea of Iri is that if you're still connected, so you're connected to a pot, even though the pot is not on the fire, but the pot trapped the heat of the fire in the pot, and now you're pouring from that pot into something else, so you're still connected to the fire. Okay, very nice. And that's right, if it's nifsak to kiluach, if it's not connected to the pot anymore, it's a little bit less connected to the fire. But zav tashach, this is, when you're cooking something in a pot, what was the relationship of the food in the pot to the fire? Direct or indirect? Indirect, because the fire is really heating up the pot, right? I don't know how cooking works. Is the food getting cooked by the heat of the pot or by the heat of the fire? What do you say, Mr. Krieger?
The pot is collecting the heat from the fire.
Right, the pot is collecting the heat from the fire and bringing it, bringing the heat over into the food. So the food is not really directly in touch with the fire. So Zakta Shach, okay, so when you have something dripping out of a pot, that food now is disconnected from the pot, which even when it was in the pot, it was disconnected from the fire. So it's really far away from the fire now. But Zakta Shach, this case of the oil dripping out of a cup, when you have a wick in there, so the oil is being heated directly from the fire, right? Not through the cup. the oil, the fire is right on top of the oil, heating up the flame is heating up the oil. So the oil now is being heated directly from the fire. So mamela, it's like davar gush almost. It's like the pshat is, but it's better than davar gush because it retains the heat. I don't know exactly why, but he's saying that the davar gush also was only through the pot, right? So normally. So he's saying is that zok the shach, zok the farshim, pshat in this Shulchan Aruch is that since this oil got heated directly from the fire, not through a kli, if it drips out, there's no tata gavar. Because remember, we learned tata gavar is only when everything's off the fire. And if everything's on the fire, so you don't say tata gavar. Because everything's on the fire, everything goes all the way, it gets cooked all the way. Right, so here this is considered still connected to the fire. This drop is like it's considered coming from the fire, and since it's coming from the fire, it ashes the whole kli, even though the kli is cold. It's unbelievable. Okay, so he'll do this. We'll get to the ratio now. We have to go on a time.
Okay, so that we call our age.
Right, so that's what I said. That the Shmissus HaShabbos says that in Hilchos Shabbos there's 17 levels of Kli. So there's Kli Rishon Amesh, Kli Rishon Ofesh. The difference between Kli Rishon Amesh and Ofesh is very minimal. You're right.
Right, no, but fine. But Kli Rishon Amesh, this is, as
I said,
the age inside the oil is a step above that.
Right.
So now you take it off, now
become Amesh. Right. It would be like, let's say, even the whole Chumrah of Davar Gush, let's say you have a potato cooking with chon, you take the potato, so can you mix the potato with your coleslaw? The age-old shayla, can you mix your hot potato from the chon with your coleslaw? Because, right, we had those discussions, because the Davar Gush, coleslaw, ketchup, fine. Right? But let's say you roast a marshmallow on the fire. According to this, that's much more chumrah than regular Davar Gush. Because the marshmallow, I don't know if marshmallow retains heat because it melts before it gets hot, right? But if you have something that's hot from the fire, that's fire.
So that's the Chazanish.
Chazanish says that this cup, you put it under the urn, open the urn, take the cup, move it away, it's still clarishin. Because since, exactly that, because the whole sugi of clirishin, clirishini is when you take the kettle. You took a kettle off the fire and you poured, so the kettle's a clirishin, and now the water is clirishini. But he says if you're still connected to the fire while you're pouring, so there's also clirishin. Chazanish Taka says like that. So, you know, now, and Adam goes like the Chazanish, but that's, that, there is such a concept.
That's the two parts.
Oil spreads out of the wick.
So even the koshke, no?
That's the case.
Fine, but so you're saying that's like a spark of the fire itself?
The fire is pushing out. That's the difference. The same information for the dripping.
They're saying no. They're saying the heat is coming from the fire itself. That's how they're learning. Now, Ad Kidei Kach, that the Mata Yoinasan over here in the bottom, there's a long piece here from the Mata Yoinasan. It's a piece from the Yad Avram. I'm sorry, I thought it was the Mati Yonasan. It's a piece from the Yad of, oh no, it's not from the Yad of, no, I think it is from the Mati Yonasan. So where is it? It's from the Yad of Rum. Okay? He asks a bomb cash on this concept. He says, this concept cannot be, it's impossible for this to be true, because if this is true, it's connected to Gemara. Because let's go all the way back. I think we actually copied the Gemara and Pesachim, and we learned the Gemara and Pesachim together. What is the makar for Tata Gavar and Yilal Gavar? This whole concept, the one wins, the other one wins. What's the makar? Karban Pesach. What was the case of Karban Pesach? Karban Pesach is rotisserie. You have the entire Agdi going there. You put it on a Shpudsha Rimoin, right? You put it on a wooden spit, and you have the fire underneath, and you have the roasted lamb going. And the Gemara talks about, what if something drips off of the Korban Pesach onto the Cheres? What's the status? So there, that oil from the Korban Pesach comes straight from the fire. And yet the Gemara says that's subject to Lan Tata. So it's Mefurish Gemara, not like this concept.
Why is that called coming straight from the fire?
Because there's no intermediary of the Kli. If there would be an intermediary of the Kli, it's not Sliesh. That's the whole problem. right? The Gemara says you're not allowed to cook, just to bring up the point we were saying. You're not allowed to cook a Korban Pesach in a metal spit. Yeah,
but the difference between over here with like with the oil, you're literally cooking the oil. So the oil is still a fire here. It's just hot meat.
Well, that's what like David's saying. That maybe the oil here, it's like the oil is like coming out of the fire.
I'm saying that's what it says. It's Age Mamish. That's what they're all saying. Because
it's okay, so David, maybe your pshat is answering this kasha. What? Yeah. So, but you have to know exactly what this is now. Lamaisa. So this is an amazing. So it comes Hanukkah time. So besides that, anyway, there's a chumrah. You're supposed to only use oil that was kosher in the base of Mikdash for your Hanukkah candles. And oil that was kosher in the base of Mikdash had to be kosher oil because Nimashka Yisrael, Zalacha, anything used in the base of Mikdash had to be kosher la'achila. You can't use something which is not kosher la'achila, right, for the base of Mikdash. So anyway, in the base of Mikdash, you have to use kosher oil. So therefore, there's an Indian to use kosher oil for your candles. You shouldn't use like treif oil for your Hanukkah candles. Besides that, if you are using treif oil and it gets messy and starts dripping all over the place, then you got to start figuring things out. You know, you're treifing up everything.
The oil that we buy here.
Okay. I hope so.
This is where you do the plug. Like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, right. All oil is badas covered under all the shit. Right. So, yeah. So, that's the keep that in mind. Okay. Now, I want to bring a tzushtel to this concept, okay? From a shach that we learned earlier. It's not exactly this tzushtel, and it's a job complicated, but it's worth it, okay? Especially for those that are, knowledgeable in Yeridea. So there was a, back in Sif Zion, okay? Sif Zion had all this, was busy with all the case, with the milk flowing on the counter, and you put your fleshik pot on the milchiks with the milk going. So in Siv Zayin by the Shach Siv Katan Lamed Beis. So it said like this. It said v'mishpach cholov ishar iser oiseach agabe karka. You have very hot milk on the floor. V'hamida ala k'der chama, and you put hot. You put a k'der on it. So he says that even if the milk is on the counter, even if the milk is warm, but it's still klisheni, because it's not connected to the pot anymore, it's on the counter, it's klisheni. So even if you put a hot pot on it, and it would only go in k'day klipa. Okay? But he says, why? Because the milk is not near the fire. Of the pot. In other words, which is only the outside of the pot. It would require iru. You would have to kasha the pot from the outside. So, but it says the shach in Lamed Beis, it's mashma, that if the milk would be next to the fire, it would aser the whole food. It would aser the whole thing because the milk is like klirisha. So frekt the chavazdas akasha, chavazdas is the nesivus, he asks akasha on this shach. Okay, we're going to learn in Tzadi Dalet. Okay, so we're finishing Tzadi Beis Mitzvah Shem this week. Next week is Tzadi Gimel. And then after Chanukah we'll start Tzadi Dalet. So the first sugya in Tzadi Dalet is the sugya called Cham Miktzasoi Cham Kuloi, which basically is a shaila. If this is a boiling hot pot and I stick my spoon, the tip of my spoon into the pot, how much of the spoon do you have to kasha? All of it, just the tip? Does the flavor go through the whole spoon? Right. So we paskin just the tip. No, depends. On the ash, off the ash, different sheets. Three shittas. I'm going. Right. So now, frek the shach, frek the chavazdas. This pot, even if the fire, even if the milk was hot, but how much of the pot touched the milk? It's not like the case that we had to hit the side. It's on the bottom. Very little. It's beyond the thickness of the pot, so it never got up to the level of the food. So only the bottom of the pot got aser anyway. So why would you say it asers the whole pot? It didn't touch the whole pot. Zok the Imre Baruch over there. Look at the Shach Lamed Beis. The milk is Eitzel Ha'esh. Look very carefully. You see that? Lamed Beis. Eino Eitzel Ha'esh. The Imu Eitzel Ha'esh Vulcham. Because if the milk would be Eitzel Ha'esh, Pshita Dahavi Klirishan, Ve'odif Minei. And it's even better than a Klirishan. What is he saying with those two words? Yeah, what's other way? How is it better than
exactly
a fish?
That's what we're saying, man.
So zakta imibarach this part, because the milk is getting heated up by the fire without a pot, without an intermediary of a pot. Because we're talking about a case, if milk would be next to the fire, it would be considered so hot that you would say cham and tzasi cham kula here, the kuli al. That's what he wants to say. Is that if the milk is heating, being heated directly without an intermediary of the fire, it retains its heat and would assa the whole pot. So you see this concept over there as well.
If we can consider the milk that hits the edge of the pot can travel through the pot into the food, how come you can't consider that it's traveling
on the bottom? Okay, the very good question. The reason is because that case, I was wondering this for a long time. I really had this problem. I'm like, what's going on over here? What's the difference? So we finally came to the realization that whole case, when it hits the side of the pot, goes through, is because the pot, push-up shot at least, anyone has a different answer to this question. Push-up shot is because the pot, we're talking about those cases, is when the pot is on the fire. So since the pot is on the fire, whatever it touches, it brings it in all the way. It cooks it up because it has the heat of the fire. If it's off the fire, so then it's got to work with the heat that it trapped already. It can't be that strong. So it's going to trap it only to that bottom level.
So if it's on the fire, it can travel.
Correct. Yeah. Because heat, again, everything boils down to how connected you are to the fire. Boils down to it. Okay, maybe. Maybe, right. Okay. But now, if we're right that when something gets heated from the fire itself, it's stronger. So we're left with Michael's question, which is, so what's the beginning of the sif now? Ner shel chaylev. We did a great job explaining the end of the sif. So the end of the sif with the shach. Okay, gevaldik. We did a good job explaining that. But now we're back to the beginning of the sif. Then, so you have a candle. That wax is being heated by the fire itself. So why is it enough to just scrape off that wax? Every Motzei Shabbos, you should sit there koshering your kiddush cup, right? So you can go back and forth on this, okay? But if you see the Truma Sadeshin inside, so I looked at the Truma, we made a copy of the Truma Sadeshin. This thing comes from the Truma Sadeshin. It's very clear from the Truma Sadeshin that the reason that that's true, it's a very simple reason. Yeah, pretty much is because wax is just not that hot. It just doesn't, because wax melts off at a temperature which is much less than Yad Soledis melt. Right? I mean, if you sit there, put your hand, when the wax drips on your fingers, it's like, you know, it doesn't burn your fingers. Hot oil drips on your fingers, it burns. Hot wax drips out wide because the wax melts at a very low temperature. So therefore, it's just not hot. By the time the wax is melted and it falls off in midair, it's considered it cooled off already. And Mamela doesn't retain that connection to the fire. It by definition lost its connection to the fire because it gets cooled off so quickly. Some people say that really every time you have just one drop, it's like that. One drop never really can retain its heat, but for sure a drop of wax will not retain its heat.
Look at a continuous stream.
Continuous stream, maybe it would be different. Maybe it would be different. Right. Here's a Meta Tipa, yeah.
It says also you can air shall shy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like wax.
Right. And when it's also you can air shall shy,
exactly.
Lower level,
callable. So for that, boils up. Exactly. That's the call. So, I mean, so we're scratching our heads. Sometimes we got to stick with the Matthias. If you ever have to convince your son, that they should learn science, you can use that. You have to pay attention. What are you saying? What were you saying?
I was going to say, depending on how the wax drips off, it's dripping off slowly, but if it comes directly from the heat source, when you trip over a candle, that still has a lot of heat added.
So that's the second. That could be the second.
Right.
Second part.
Like just the seifa is. There's no. The only heat source is just the wick with the
flame. Yeah. Oil. And that's the shach says. As opposed to if you would take this stuff and boil it up in a pot and it would boil over, that would be different.
But it comes down, like if you go just by temperature wise, you know, the temperature of something boiling on a fire is likely going to be higher than just a candle that's melting, you know, a wick.
So I'm not saying you always go by the temperature. I'm saying if it's less than Yatzeladis, then the temperature is just not hot enough. There is an idea that you could have two things. One is hotter than the other, but this is more connected to the fire.
Right.
And you could have a klisheni, which is hotter than a klirishon sometimes, but the klirishon is connected to the fire, and the fire is where the koach habishul is.
Once Yas led us, then we go into just
yeah, exactly. The fire. Right. But if it's not Yas led us,
versus
200, but if it's on the fire, and it's not Yas led us, then it's mutter.
Well, of course, right.
Okay. So we have 5 minutes now. So I want to make a brief introduction. Oh, before that, no. Okay. Actually, before we make a brief introduction, some of you, if you were looking inside, may have gotten scared off by this long taz. What is this topic of this long taz? Okay. So the long taz took this opportunity to talk about a very, very shchiachtika shayla, which most people discuss this shayla when it comes to Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos. The common shayla is that are you allowed to put croutons in soup? Those little yellow guys. Are you allowed to put those things into a soup? So we hold that if deep fried, not deep fried, if they're deep fried, so ain't bishal achar bishal. If they're baked, so we hold yesh bishal achar afia, but you're allowed to be makel on bishal achar afia So what's the shayla? No, I think not.
You leave it in.
Right. So no, but I'm saying what's the nafkamina?
You got to put it in the bowl instead of the whole pot. That's klisheni.
But if the bowl is a klisheni. But it's klisheni regardless. Okay. No, but I think we're machmir in the bishacharfia in the klisheni. Right? But klisheni maybe we're not. Klisheni we're making. So now the point is like this: is your bowl, your soup bowl, is that a klisheni or klisheni? Right? Why is it klishlishi?
I'm assuming you get the ladle.
I'm assuming that when you're serving so much shabbos, you don't have it on the plate.
It's off the flame.
It's clear, showing. Now you did it.
You took the ladle.
The ladle
is a klisheni, and you put it into the bowl as a klishlishi. So this taz discusses, this famous taz, but no one knows where it is. It's tucked away over here at the end of Tzadi Beis. So most people are looking high and low for it in Hilchos Shabbos, and it's not there. It's over here. And the taz says that your soup bowl is a klisheni. Why? Because he says the whole concept of kli rishon klisheni is when you take something from a klisheni, you pour it into another kli. But if you take the kli and put it into the kli rishon, very possibly that becomes a kli rishon as well. And now you, when you take the ladle, you're pouring it from a kli rishon into a klisheni. Okay, yeah, it's a similar concept. Basically, he says like this, his riots are all from something agaviyah-ish. But he says, imagine that you have a pot of fire cooking on the fire, a pot of soup cooking on the fire. So the soup is a kli rishon, right? Why? Because the fire is heating up the walls of the kli plus the food. Kli rishon. Now you stick a ladle and you put it into the soup on the fire, and the fire, zaktik taz, just like the fire, is heating up the kli. It's heating up the soup. It's also heating up the ladle.
Well, really heating up the kli, which is heating the soup.
Right. Okay, it's all on the fire.
Fine.
So the mela is up there. That ladle is also kli rishon. Now, according to all this and what we're talking about, you're right, it's a little more removed, but he says it's also kli rishon. Now, you just that kli rishon, when you take it out, it's still going to be kli rishon. So mela, he says that you should be machmer in those cases. So the pasha of the taz should be that it's dafka on the ish. To say when it's off the ish is a much bigger stretch, right? But there's a big nafkamina. There's a lot of nafkaminas in this. Okay, he says one nafkamina is when you're kashering. When you're kashering, you kasher with a ladle. Boil up the pot and then fill up the ladle and then pour with the ladle onto the spots you're kashering. Or so, let's say you want to take like a measuring cup. It would be much easier to kasher instead of trying to schlep this whole entire huge pot and dumping it over your sink, making a mess and ruining your counters and your cabinets every year. So what you do is take a measuring cup that has a nice spout, put it into the pot, take out the water and pour. Shmar. Right? So according to the Taz, it would be a leniency of the Taz. You could do that. It's clearishin. Most people can say not like that. The chumra of the Taz is that if it's still clearishin, like Abi Shabbos, like all these other things, it will make a much bigger chumra in Hilchas Bas B'chol. This is the lumdus of the Taz. It's interesting because he proves it from a Gemara in Shabbos. We mentioned the Gemara in Shabbos, but the Gemara in Shabbos was basically that the Gemara is trying to prove that you could warm up oil in a klisheni. And the case was that there was one of the Tanoim was walking with his Talmud, and the Talmud had oil. And he told his Talmud, can you warm up the oil for me so that I could spread the oil on me, on pour oil on my skin? So he said, how should I warm up the oil on Shabbos? So he said, how should I warm up the oil? So he says, hey, we're at a bathhouse. The bathhouse is a klirishin. You know, they have the big tub where the water was, it's a klirishin. So he says to him, toil b'klisheni v'tein. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Take the water from the bathhouse into a klisheni and put the oil into the klisheni. That's what he says. So that's the Lashon of the Gemara, though. Tol b'klisheni v'tein. So Frektataz, why does the Gemara have to say tol b'klisheni v'tein? Take it into a klisheni. Just say toil v'tein. Because once you take it out, he never said to put it in the bathhouse. Take it out with a ladle. Take out the ladle and put it in the ladle. Take a pitcher, fill it up, and then put the oil in the pitcher. Says the Shah Taz, obviously that would have been considered a klirishin. So therefore, told the water, v'klisheni, to pour the water off into another kli, and then put the oil in. So says the Taz, Mefurisha Gemara, that Mefurisha Gemara,
it's a very big.
Right.
Maybe the oil was in.
It's a great deal.
The oil was in a kli. It's a big deal. Some people would say that's a klisheni.
Told the klisheni, I mean, take it into a klisheni, because taking it into a klisheni. Yeah. Right. You could argue on the deal.
Oil was in a plea, and he was saying, take a second plea and use that. So, don't use the oil.
No, he's saying, as opposed to the vessel that the oil is in. So, I was not happy with the deal because of the task. Okay. But this.
That's how you're saying that's fine. It's not like clear cut. Yeah.
I'll just throw out there that Davila, I'm not sure anyone here looked at the bar inside. So. let's give the Taz the benefit of the doubt for right now until we actually see the bar inside to know if it's a good deal. But
what? You
read the Taz. Yeah. So this is the halacha of the Taz that comes up there and again other places as well, and Shabbos and other places. Okay, so that's
this is the source where people who do
Eroi
Takasha
their sinks.
This is
what the Eroi is still from a Klirishin.
Right.
No, that's different. Because that you're talking, let's say you boil up a pot that has a spout, so that's still the klirishin itself. We're talking about taking water from a pitcher, dipping your pitcher into the klirishin. That's already different.
But even for the Taz, our pots are off the fire, so even the Taz.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You're right. I mean, this question about doing it off the fire seems to be a mamish a bigger stretch, but he says it. I can't describe to you where he says it because it's a very long Taz, but somewhere closer to the end than the beginning, the Taz is lashon is vafilu b'klirishin mamish shehusar min haor v'hurak mashem b'soyech and nirot loy markein. Okay, so the Taz holds very strongly that you always retain your status of klirishin. Okay, now it's okay. So next week we'll do Tzadi Gimel. Now, I'll just give one introduction to Tzadi Gimel. Tzadi Gimel basically is probably the first few lines of Tzadi Gimel are the fundamental principle for probably 80% of shilas that come up in kashas, which is if you cooked milk in a fleishika pot. That sounds like that's what we're talking about. Usually it's aser. Check. But if it hasn't been used for meat within the last 24 hours, then it does not aser the food. Right? That line right there, pretty much addresses most shilas. because, you know. But there's a lot of lumdus here and a lot of different cases that we got to deal with. So, Mr. Shem, next week is our Hanukkah, right? So next week, we'll try to decide to give them. Probably the Sunday of Hanukkah, we're not going to have a share.
So next Sunday, yes. Sunday
after. Pashtus, no, yeah. Okay. Shkoyach.